whether he was okay with it, and he said, yes, he's fine with it. Right? Is that correct? Can I push you? Because that was one of the, I said I would pursue the matter further. Instead of wasting the meeting's time explaining, are you fine what we got in the Insolvency Act thing? Fine. So it's agreed, right? This is in the new 29. Have you included this now, obviously, in the current version of the bill? Right? Right. The one we're going to vote on. Then, on the issue of the clause that, let's say, says something to this effect, the banks are required to inform customers when they turn down. You know why I don't like starting outside 10 o'clock? Because it invariably, it's a norm in this parliament, maybe in all parliaments. If you don't start at the time you normally start and you start later, people often come disproportionately later than they otherwise would come. So if you start a meeting at 10, they'll be here at about 10 past. If you start a meeting at 11, Melania, you should do the study. They'll come here at 12:50. So it's a remarkable thing. You're an economist, Sifi, so maybe you want to look at that. So the ANC discussed this matter. For what it's worth, I refer you to our report. It's paragraph, 23, where it reads the following. While the committee recognizes that the major banks in South Africa are part of the globalized financial system and have to abide by international standards and those set by regulators of other countries in which they do business, the committee believes that it is not acceptable that banks can close customers' accounts and not give them any reasons for this. The banks, especially given the high level of concentration in the financial sector, can abuse their power and, for example, close accounts for marginalized groups deemed to be high risk. The committee considered inserting a provision in the bill requiring the regulators to set standards for banks to explain to customers why they have closed their accounts, but finally decided that this matter should be addressed holistically in the pending Conduct of Financial Institution Bill. The committee strongly recommends, note, that National Treasury ensures that this matter is addressed in that bill. So you get the drift, Momo?
Yep.
Yeah, we just want it done. You've got to convince us, and the banks have to convince us, and they must bring the successor to Ban Ki-moon, whose name I should find out is an Argentinian guy, right? I keep using his name. It's Portuguese. Oh, he's from the developed world. Oh. Did you see what the Pope said about Castro, by the way? For what it's worth. Not for what it's worth. It's important what he said, for those of you who are antipathetic, to put it mildly to him. Castro, I mean. The committee strongly recommends, right? We find that that's Sifiso?
Yeah.
Good. Done. You're listening to us, banks. This is Parliament. You've had a good run for too long, since 1994. Right? Right. And before I drop dead or leave out of boredom, I at least would like to see something happen. And because either of those possible, the second possibility is much, much greater, I would like the banks, at least before I leave here in boredom, sort this matter out just for my existential sake, okay? Put that in the report, please, whoever is writing the report, which means me, so I have the power. Right, look, anything else on this matter, Mr. Mania? We are saying no for now, but we fully want this done.
Chair, that's fine. I've got a possible amendment to the report, but I'll deal with that when we get to the report.
That, yeah, that's fine. But we agree not to go ahead. Mm-hmm. But you get the drift, Mom. But you were in agreement for once on this matter. So that's done. On the matter of the, end report, is there anything else left? No. Then let's look at the DA
provisions, right? As I recall, Zakhele, you're going to help me here, my friend. Have you come to vote?
Welcome.
Or you just come to observe?
Welcome.
Or you're a new member?
Our member.
Bongo. I'm just checking, no.
I'm
representing somebody.
I'm a member of parliament.
Yeah, yeah, I know all that, proof. I was here in 94, you were still in your nappies then. My point is, if you come to vote, then, you know, I get drawn in to vote. People rope me in. I say, no, 1 second before you're voting, I'll come. So if that's what you've come for, you're not voting now. But
no,
if you want to stay for other reasons, you're more than welcome.
No, I'm just here.
Oh, you want to learn how to exercise effective oversight?
Yes.
Oh, I see. No, that is understandable. Come more often. Oh, you know what you should come for? How to handle the DA.
Okay.
That's really a word. Yeah. Hey, every 15 minutes we attack him, right?
No, man,
then he gets really bad and he declares war on us.
He ran away from the committee of defense where I served with him. So
yeah, you're sorting him out.
So I'm following him.
You didn't do a good enough job, man. There's a leg. You still, the residues are persisting. We want to exorcise him before the end of the year. That's my other aim before I leave in boredom.
You're going to leave in boredom.
Yeah, right. Now, right, look, let's come back to where we are, wherever that is, which is, what is it now? I'm getting dodgy. Yeah. Now, as I remember it, colleagues, we agreed to several things and I've spoken to the team. This is now the team of Parliament and the Executive, right? Janine, the main people, Momo, you and me should be modest now. It's Janine and Frank and Tolwane. Is that right? Yeah. They are the three people who matter. The rest of us, in Kubongo, you're a lawyer. Doesn't count here, right? Not yet. You're an ordinary MP, any more than my being a sociologist counts, right? You're not a legal drafter. So he doesn't count, right? Now then, what I want to ask is that you have, Janine, can I check, included all the amendments that the DA got through the committee yesterday that we approved of, in other words, in the latest bill that we're going to look at when we vote, right?
Yes, there is one provision, clause 167, one, that last evening working on the bill, it was, I believe, a request to substitute a reference to order, made by order, impose a penalty.
Yeah.
And they had proposed that it should be revised to refer to a notice.
Notice, yeah.
Now, one thing I wanted to, before making revisions, I wanted to note to the committee that in the bill we've defined administrative penalty order. And that term is used in several clauses, I think in about eight instances. And so I just wanted to advise the committee and so that it could be just considered, do we want to, because if we amend 167
yeah.
one, the reference to order, it may necessitate amendment revisions
right,
in the other provisions. So I just wanted to draw that to the committee's attention
Mama?
For consideration.
Yeah, no, Chair, I was hoping that... all the provisions that we discussed yesterday, that we're going to show you the final wording so that we clear that we also have interpreted it correctly. So it's not just this issue. So shall we just do that systematically and then we...
Yeah. Let's start with that. In other words, the easier way to deal with it is those that we agree to. Let's see how you've done it. If there's a problem, maybe you can negotiate with the DA.
We'll just go systematically through the document. So the first one is removal of chief legal officer. I think we decided not to do
this.
This
is a problem. We have decided.
I just wanted to show you, just show you how we've done. We decided not to change.
No, you know why? Because you know why? You people go home and rightly so. I have to sit here for hours. That's the job of a chair. I'm not complaining, but just sympathetic to a chair. I have to sit here. Then I have to phone them endlessly
this morning to check what's happening. So I have discussed this matter with Roy. There's no thinking now. There's decision. If we're still thinking and hesitant, then we're not ready to vote on the bill. I have discussed that with Momo on Saturday afternoon. What were you doing on Saturday afternoon, Pinky? You were mobilizing for the Women's League, right? I had to sit there and do this boring stuff. I couldn't edit Umsebenzi and AC, which is more challenging and more interesting than this boring stuff, right? But I did it. There's no rule that the chair must do it. How many other chairs do it? So, let's be frank. There's no, I think. If you're thinking in the hesitant way you are, then can we defer voting on the book? Right. No. No, I'm refused to because I have discussed it with him. How many times? Right. Didn't I have a discussion with you about this?
It's just a manner, of talking.
No.
And what I was
it's
just
too hesitant. Fine. You have to be decisive, my brother. Right. Fine. Let's go on.
39 was the first amendment that the DA
and we said no.
And what is taken, what we agreed yesterday was to put in within 30 days. So
yeah, that's all we agreed to. Good. Good. Next.
Okay,
you see this guy, he thinks... Yeah, no, he thinks 2038 is here already. I don't know if he'll be here. Yeah, well, whatever, but 2038 is not here. 2038 is not here.
Chair, the next one, the decision was to introduce the failing which that considerations So the discussion we had yesterday, we decided to go with any consideration of or any decision for the matter which does not comply with paragraph A.
This was slightly refined wording, but it's still the same proposal.
Can you make it bigger? Make it a bit bigger. Sorry, yeah.
If you can make your thing the screen larger. Yeah.
So the revision is based on a slight refinement of the proposal that was presented, and so and that was referred to in the meeting yesterday, and I think that wording was agreed to.
Yeah, I am. I mean, you guys
proposed it. I think it's good. Yeah, it's an improvement. That's what
also,
I think.
So, subclause 8, we've also included the wording that was proposed there. Clause 61.1, it was agreed that we would include the wording to refer to a person who is fit and proper and has appropriate experience. And in subclause 4, we agreed that it should refer to must instead of may.
Why does it look like you buy everything that the GA says? I'm always smart.
It was you.
Yeah.
It was you that decided yesterday. So don't blame poor Janine. She just merely effected what you, Pinky, decided. Or us, all right, okay. The
and then
was
in,
neutral,
and then
okay.
In clause 65.8.
Yeah, 61 was referred to the committee, right? Study group. Which one is that now?
Well, that was the aspect on clause 61 was relating to the process that had been proposed for appointment. So
no, we
so
said no to this.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't refer it. Yeah, we said no. We don't want this, right? Yeah. For reasons, I can tell you, as I put it, not now, not now, not never.
And then in 65.8, again, similar to the
yeah.
other previous
Thank you, Pinky,
revision,
for being my spokesperson.
We've included
Longo,
within
the chairperson
days.
Is a spokesperson also in the committee, even while he's here. Sorry, I'm teasing you, Pinky. Right, sorry.
And then again, in clause 72, in subclause 3, we've included the similar wording of, in subclause 3.
Yeah, on this
and
one.
And then in clause
86,
we have, it was agreed generally that the proposal was accepted and we should come back
to the
with
wording.
Perhaps slightly refined wording today. So we have, for subclause 1, we have emphasized that there could be appointment of evaluation for both in the initial establishment and also subsequently at least every 2 years afterwards, then there would be an evaluation commissioned. So we...
Actually, I think this was your best proposal, actually. It's a very good proposal. And it's very consistent with what the committee was doing anyway.
And we like the new word.
Yeah, it's quite good, actually. But, you know, that's why I'm thinking we don't vote at one, Frank. I would really like to look at one of this.
And then in some clause 3 and 5, it's basically the same.
I thought we agreed to two things, right? That the first one, first you need to make sure that it's actually been done, that there are MOUs.
That's
yeah. And then we said that it's too soon, just after 6 months, to decide on an evaluation. I mean, there's nothing to evaluate. You don't need an independent evaluation of the establishment of those mechanisms. Because that is just fact. People give you a piece of paper to say, here it is. If you want them to evaluate the because if we look later, then it's an evaluation of the effectiveness. So I'm just saying, let's just think about what we want in the first step.
This is as agreed by the committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's term you're evaluating the content of the MOU as opposed to the
Yes. Yes, so that's what...
Well, I think let's maybe we should go through these clauses slowly now, so we agree,
yeah,
because
yeah.
It's quite a long
yeah,
change.
Also, two things are saying. You know what, Frank? This thing, even if you can't be here, it's fine. We'll manage. We've got Janine. I am really, really feeling uncomfortable. never been, I want to say something.
Look, ultimately, it's the chair that will account to the parliament. No one's going to remember Pinky Way in the committee. I can't do this. You know, I've been chairing for many years. We are not ready to vote on this thing. We tried very hard. So I really think we're not voting at one. That I can tell you now, I'm ruling. There's no debate about it. We can't vote. We need time to look at these things. Right? I was hoping to have got this by this morning, and I realized, Janine, you worked very hard with Frank. So what I'm saying is, let's not push ourselves. Let's go through it carefully. There has been an exchange between Frank and me. He's got a proposal, which I didn't, because ANC people invariably come late, right? So we can't wait for them. I discussed it with them at 11 o'clock. And it's a proposal we put to you formally, which is a good way of dealing with it. Instead of doing the A version of the bill, because you could make mistakes there, it's to actually look at the tracked version. Neil Bell, who's been here for thousands of years, Melanie, you'll remember him, right? And he's very good. He says, why don't you just vote? There's nothing in the rules that... And I'm telling you now, I have a mandate, as I gather, we're going to push this thing with the Speaker and the Secretary to Parliament. This is the way to go in this ICT age. We're stuck in the tracking age. So he says there's nothing wrong with it. So you'll explain. But the agreement between Frank and me was that we will try to vote by 1 o'clock. I'm alerting members because we will need everybody here. Otherwise, it's the three-day rule. So whatever happens, the House rises. We have to be here for the House. So I would say there's no need to rush. Right? And we can set up a small subcommittee and meet if we have to. What we do, I'm more addressing Bongo on a more serious note now. Forget my silly billiness. I've had my quota for the whole day. The reason I just alert, if you come to observe or participate, you're welcome. But if you come to vote, then you're not going to, you might as well do some other work. We'll come to you at 5 o'clock or something. That's all I'm saying. It's actually addressing you mainly. So let's calm down and let's slow down. I think, Frank, we're not going to meet the 1 o'clock deadline, but we'll excuse you, right? And we'll manage without you because we're in the final stage. As long as you do your work up to 4, and we can say, yeah. Okay, so can we go through this carefully? And could we make it bigger, please, for some of us who are old and dying?
Yes, in fact, that's what we would also want, that because we anticipate there may be some changes.
Yeah.
We want a break.
Yeah.
And then we can come back.
That
and
was your proposal, yeah, but the latest one, as I told you, was
okay.
To vote by one. Right?
So we can.
I don't think we should do
well,
that.
Whatever
we
time,
agree.
3 or 4
Fine.
O'clock.
That influences
yeah.
the way you manage the time as a
yeah.
chair. Good, right. So we're agreeing, right? Good.
Yeah, so let's go through this clause carefully. Maybe Janine, you want to take us through it?
All right, I've brought this upon myself. Oh, man. No, I brought it upon myself. I have no sympathy for myself. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So paragraph A is intended to focus on the initial establishment of the cooperative mechanisms. So it provides that within, as soon as possible after the initial six-month period within which the MOUs must be entered into in terms of Section 77.1, there must be, now Momo has queried the wording, commission an independent evaluation of the establishment of the mechanisms. So we can consider that, are we happy with the reference to commission an independent evaluation? And so basically that's focusing on the initial establishment. And paragraph B is quite similar in wording, but then it's saying every 2 years after the initial evaluation has been done and things are established, then you have to, on an ongoing basis, then evaluate how effectively the mechanisms are functioning. And then you would take measures to. And subsection 2... That's a good point. We should put the... That's right.
In that chapter, but it's in chapter
1. I meant to have a regulator.
Where's my friend, my child, by the way?
And then subclause 2 is effectively the wording that was proposed by the in the proposal we considered yesterday, that indicating what an evaluation must contain, at least the minimum requirements.
So what do people feel?
Chair, I'm sort of relatively happy with it, but I'd like Momo to sort of articulate his concern. I mean, it would seem to me that in the first phase you'd want to confirm that an MOU exists, that it is signed, and that the contents achieve the objectives of the Act and the would achieve overall cooperation. That would be presumably the essence of your initial check. I'd be interested in Momo's view.
So, I was just saying, if we can just tweak the wording so that it's clear that it's on... don't ask me more difficult questions, Chair. So that it covers exactly issues like whether it's been done and can we assess the content for whether it's satisfactory, whatever satisfactory is.
Sure. Yeah.
Can I ask whether 86A, the words cooperative and collaborative mechanisms, were they there before?
It should copy the previous wording of under the
Not
chapter.
Right.
Yeah, if you look at the chapter on.
So the changing was the timeline.
Well, we could have
and to see whether it means it meets the minimum minimum norms in a way, but I don't know if we have a minimum standards. Do we have standards on MOUs? Okay, minimum requirements. Yeah,
have we redefined sub 2, Chair? Have we redefined sub 2? I mean 2. Must at least contain analysis of the memorandum. Was it not saying an MOU?
Oh. Yeah, what are we saying earlier? We put memorandum of understanding in quote, or we put MOU in?
I'm saying, must at least contain analysis. Was it the initial words we had? If Janine understands me, Chair.
Can I suggest we come back to this? Let him get the wording, because I think to do it like this is just difficult. Let's just go through the other clauses.
So we think that it might
clauses.
Be possible to include some wording in subclause 2 that might indicate the content. So Roy's put some wording up on the...
Since you're the team, was there no point, or was it impossible for you to meet before 11 o'clock?
Chair, we did meet, but
so how
look,
come you didn't
is,
go through all
no,
this
no,
and get
it
consensus
is,
amongst yourselves?
And sometimes some of the juices flow when we hear. So,
oh, you mean you had to be here and people prompt you?
On one hand, but I also had to go to Seekoff this morning.
No, I understand.
The team did meet. They did discuss this.
Yeah,
but I'm just
saying you're the leader, and according to the spirit of our discussion yesterday, if we are to vote today, this committee, I can't speak for other committees, it's not going to happen if we are not clear that almost every full stop and every comma is as it should be. And there's no obligation on us to
yes.
even vote today. If they agree the DA, we can even suspend the 3-day rule.
But we can't, after having spent, now I notice not 156 hours, it was 3 hours yesterday, it's 159. By the time we finish, it'll be 164, 65 hours, just the committee. And then at the last minute, we rush through.
But
so,
Chair, I think, really,
you've got to prioritize what you want done. Because
yes.
You were one of the people who said, Eunice, if you guys can't finish, it'll be great, right? But it's not because of you. You don't decide for us. But you're not delivering. I'm a bit disappointed, let me put it that way, given the discussions we had last night. But anyway, we are where we are, and we must make decisions. Now,
yes.
What are you suggesting now, that we leave this clause? When will we come
back? No, we'll do it now. I'm just saying, let's finish
now,
the others, and yes, before we end this morning, you will have the clause, so we'll work on it. But it seems there is something there already. So, and I think it will only be this clause and this one other clause, but otherwise all
otherwise
the others,
okay with
otherwise yeah, the rest is fine.
Because if we operate like this, then I think let's relieve members. Let's just have four people, Sifiso, myself, Tandi, and one of you, and let's do it like that. Why are we going to detain people? The policy issues, Tandi, I refuse to accept that. A lot of work's gone in between last night and today, and it really, this is not delivering. Actually, I'm not going to listen to members say that. Really. You want to really know what happens, I will give you a report. The number of hours that I have spent personally is not fair, really, Tandi. I mean, you've got childcare responsibility. I'm sympathetic to you. It's not my job, actually. It's not my job. It's the job of the team to sort out. I thought I'd given all that up in 2009. It's not my job to spend 4.5 hours on writing a report. Nobody does that. Bongbonga, does your chairperson write 4.5 hour reports on a Saturday afternoon? No. Right, so really, get real, Tandi. This is not what we discussed. No, it's not selfless. You see, the thing is, nobody knows what happens between meetings and the deals we strike. No, I don't accept that, Tandi. You're really being insensitive. Right, so what do you want to do now, Momo? I'm in your hands, because
Chair,
I thought all
Chair,
this was...
Chair, we have got... I know you're stressing, and I know...
I'm not stressing. I'm
okay.
Just doing what a chair should do, which is, maybe the style is bad, the tone is bad, but I've also got other obligations. And really, I've planned everything around voting today.
And stressing is part of the chair's job, so... But I think we've got the
wording
now.
Right.
And getting it right. So I think it's there, Chair.
All right. Can I be in your hands now? What is it, members, do you feel? Let's start with the DA, to be fair to them. This is a good proposal, Mr. Mania. If you say this in the House, I'm the sweeper, but I have to be the sweeper when you speak. Now my role has changed completely, right? Makosi and I will forever be sweepers now.
You don't have to sweep when I'm speaking.
No, look, if it's the top of us speaking, then, you know, one can relax. But no, Mr. Mania, you can take full credit for this, right? Even Pinky is not going to attack you because she's speaking after you, right? Pinky, if he says, I have been responsible for this, were it not for me, this would never... We'll say, Mr. Mania, we agree. Calm down, as you say to me, right? So, start with you, Mr. Mania and Mr. Lees. What do you feel about the current version?
Chair, I think it's nearly there. I think this is really, I mean, it is an important provision. It really would add value to the final product, and I think we should give National Treasury just the time they require
defer it to
I think
phase two.
We clearly understand the intent.
Yeah.
Let's get wording to achieve that intent.
So let's
we
not
agree
here collectively. I like what you say.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Let's not have a tone known notion. This is phase two. Ideal is 5 o'clock. Is the deadline. So 5 o'clock we meet again. What time is the House rising? Does anybody know? No, the House can't be rising at 3. Sorry? Yes, it's 6. So let's set a reasonable deadline. The buses will leave. We will vote on the bill, Frank. Okay, let's say 4:30. So let's call it a phase two issue, right? Now, Zakhele, you're going to help me. Phase two, right? You and I will meet beforehand. And if the team can meet before... Why don't we meet in my office at 4?
Okay.
Right. Unless we can't, in which case, we come directly wherever. G26 this afternoon, where are we sitting? You get G26, right? Good. So this is phase two.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's finish all the others. Chairman, we just, instead of keeping on looking, we just try to make hard hard copies of these changes, just the changes only, just on the pages.
You mean the ones that are on the screen?
Yeah.
It really helped me because my eyesight's not good enough to look at screens these days. Yeah, this is a DA proposal we agreed on. Right, straightforward. Next one, please.
Okay, 117, reporting obligations of licensees. I'll let Janine speak to this one. This had about 10 lawyers on a conference call this morning.
I'm a bit lost. Which one are you now referring to? Now we're looking at your page of amendment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's call it B, right? B document, right? B, colleagues? Right.
Yeah, this
now.
Has a subsequent change, which Janine will talk you.
Now we're looking at 111 now, according to your B.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. So, Chair, if you go to the back of the thing we've handed out, you'll see what we have proposed.
Where is that?
That's right, the last page of the document.
Oh, right.
Then just Janine will just explain what the proposal is.
So we had further consideration of the discussion yesterday about the issues relating to self-incrimination, that concerns that were raised in the discussions yesterday. And we considered that perhaps the committee could consider, in order to make it completely clear that the intention of the provision is not to negatively impact in any way on the right to against self-incrimination, that we could include a brief subclause that would make it very clear that this section does not impact on a person's right against self-incrimination. So we thought the committee may want to consider that in light of the decision.
This is your independent
yesterday.
Decision.
Yes, and then also we noted in the offenses section. In order to also make it further completely clear in Clause 266 that a contravention of Section 117 should just be an administrative penalty and not refer to an offense. So that would also emphasize that this is more an administrative nature. So we then proposed slight revisions to Clause 266, subclauses 2 and 3, just to remove reference to offense
and
administrative
penalty. Yeah, what do you feel, Advocate Jenkins, before I come to members?
Chair, I think legally this is in order.
Yeah.
I don't see any constitutional cracks in that proposal.
Members have anything to say?
No.
I don't see a problem here. It's what's in the law anyway. It's like repeating what's there anyway, right? Fine. Do members have any issues? I'm neutral. I don't have either way. Yeah, fine. Shall we move on? Nobody. Sifisa says it's fine. And Tandi is distracted. All right. Oh, you're fine. Okay, Tandi said it's fine. That's very important.
Tandi, you're too far from me.
Yeah, Tandi. Tandi, why are you sitting there? We can barely see you. And you're not heckling today, so you're not asserting your presence because you're not even heckling today. I think the judge intimidated her, Pinky. The judge. Which judge is this? Look who's talking. Because she's not speaking for 32.4 minutes. I exaggerated, it was 22.4. Ask him. But Tandi, if you predecease me, I will come to your funeral and say. Tandi, the official chief heckler. One day she spoke for 22. Bongo, does your chairperson, you know, I want to tell you something, Bongo. Here in this committee, it's a strange committee. I've never come across, I've been here 23 years, right? The TA is not a problem, even with the mania. Okay, he's a problem, he's a pinprick.
But,
you know, here, we have an official chief heckler. And the ANC harasses the chair far more than the DA. Have you ever come across that, Bongo, as a lawyer?
That's a young man.
Bongo is looking bemused. No, you know what? The way she harasses me. And then she'll speak for 22.4. I wonder if record... Yeah, she'll speak. Where's PMG? This is off the record, eh?
You're supposed to speak free.
Yeah, but you can't. You know, Bongo. And you want to...
Right, let's come back to the work that we have to do because it's so terribly exciting. Right, where are we?
Chair, just to clarify, I'm following the DA thing just to tell you what we did.
Yeah, now to remind you, on this one we're fine with it. Advocate Jenkins are...
That's fine.
Yeah. It's okay. Right, let's move on.
So that was 117 on the DA thing. And the next one was 167, and as Janine has explained, we're just a little bit concerned about the definition of ministry orders, so we think it's best not to make this change.
Mentioned at the beginning for...
I'm looking at your B document.
There isn't an amendment indicated in the B document to 167.
No.
We were just alerting because
what
there had been...
It's fine.
Clause 274 is essentially similar, although we've proposed slightly refined wording just to make the provision clear.
Okay, because I haven't got the stamina for this. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Next page.
That's it. Yeah.
Good. So we're done with the DA. Now, Mr. Mania, anything else?
If I'm correct, yeah.
We also in the schedule had just included the revision to the Insolvency Act. That
obviously,
discussed.
Yeah, okay, right, good.
Just to be clear then, right?
Yeah.
What we've been through is those of the DA
clauses we agreed
that
to.
We've changed. The
yeah.
others, we're saying there was no change.
Yeah.
Then on the additional documents, we saw the Chief Ombud, that was the first point on that list.
Oh, yeah,
and the second point is the Justice Insolvency, and the third point on the disclosures by banks, we're taking away. So that covers then everything from yesterday.
Is there anything you guys want to say?
Thank you.
No, but you're covered, right?
Yeah, we
right.
covered it.
Then on
the
next, can you raise the issue that you raised? Because I was going to raise it anyway, but not in the way you're raising it, but you are free to raise it. Go ahead. On the issue of, people know, we emailed to you last night, the President's problems with the constitutionality of the warrants issue, right? Going into people's premises without a warrant. You recall it flowed from the earlier constitutional court thing. So, Mr. Mania will speak for himself, but okay, speak for yourself.
Chair, the point that I made to you earlier to the before the meeting, and which I think should be made in the formal meeting, is, I mean, we all know that the President has referred back the FICA bill, and broadly he's referred back the bill because he believes that the provisions in the bill dealing with warrantless searches are unconstitutional. The fact is that there are similar provisions in the Twin Peaks bill. And it seems to me that what we should try to do, given the fact that at least on the president's version, I mean, there might be disagreement in the committee, or there might be alternative views from National Treasury or from Parliament's legal advisor, but at the very least, I think we should revisit the relevant clause in the Twin Peaks Bill and satisfy ourselves that there is not an issue of constitutionality. If, in my view, there's even doubt about it, we should try to, in my view, fix that defect now so that there is no prospect of the bill being referred back by the President.
All right. National Treasury, you want to respond to that? Because you have already begun to look at the legalities and other implications of the President's referral of the bill back to Parliament, right?
What is Mr. Minister these days?
It's worrying me. There's something brewing. I don't know what it is.
Is he ready to govern?
You think, yeah, you think I'm naive. Why would he suddenly be so conciliatory? Even when we are saying no to him.
I'm very worried.
Yeah, I'm very worried too. Vicky, don't think I've been taken by this.
Mr. Chairman,
I think it's the end of year Christmas spirit that's emerging.
We had a study group meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you see, we've also just obviously, like everyone, got that note from the presidency yesterday late afternoon as you were voting, in fact. What we've done is obviously ask senior counsel to look at it, okay, so that we can understand the issues. In looking at it, like say this morning, I was talking to others, whether it's SARS, this is on lots of legislation, but it doesn't mean that just because it's a form of warrantless search, that they're also the same. So Jonathan can tell you, for example, that in our other bills, it appears to be the same, but it's different, because and he can talk about it. So this will have implications for us even in other legislation that we're going to have to look at, okay? Now, I would say that if there is a problem, certainly by the time we're in the NCOP, we can bring it back. I think if we're going to try and consider it today and whether we comply, it's almost, then we're not going to be able to vote and so on. But irrespective, we do have to look at it by the time it goes to the NCOP, just because we need a few more days. What we were hoping, Chair, is we have asked for an urgent the opinion to be ready next week in anticipation that you may want to have a first discussion at least on it to at least assess the same thing as us. What is the extent of the... What is the problem? What's its extent? What's our initial view? And therefore, what further work may be required? Because that may determine that you have to have three hearings rather than one, or whatever. So I would just say, can we sort of, we're going to have to wait until we get that opinion. It's just not possible now for us to fully assess. If you do want a sense of what it means in other legislation, that too, it's going to take us a few days to look at it. So I don't think it just affects this legislation. It could possibly, from just talking to lawyers already, they are saying, and many of those lawyers who looked at it were saying they didn't have the 7-page document that was sent to the speaker. So I've, in fact, even been sending to say, SARS or the FSB, those documents so that their lawyers can look at it, and after their lawyers look at it, you can be certain they're already getting senior counsel just from their perspective to look at these things. So the lawyers will really benefit, that's for sure, but we do need that opinion before we can decide, you know, what's the problem and how to fix it up given the problem.
Can we have the lawyers speak and then I'll throw it open? Okay.
Just a question. If in the process of the lawyers looking at the FICA aspect, could they not also be looking at the clause in the Twin Peaks simultaneously or parallel, so that we don't have to wait until we get that opinion to look.
Yeah. Chair, I think I wanted to add the same, but even say, if we end up agreeing on voting and taking the process through Parliament, in our report, we must also capture that to say there is this area, and when as the bill goes to the NCOP, the NCOP must be alive to something like that, so that we don't delay the process.
Thanks, Pinky. That's very helpful. Now let's have the other lawyers.
And then we can get the non-lawyers to come in. And there are three lawyers here, right? So, sorry. Yeah, let's just have the lawyers quickly. Starting with Janine.
Thank you. During the drafting of the provisions, we had, I think, also engaged with counsel generally on this chapter, but I would agree that it would be relevant, as has been perhaps proposed, that with the senior counsel consideration of the issue that's specifically been raised now in relation to the FIC amendment bill, that we also ask counsel to carefully examine clause 137 in this bill that deals with investigations, which would be relevant to consider, just so that we can feel confident ultimately that what's enacted would as far as we can ensure would pass scrutiny. Thank you.
Do you want to speak?
Thank you, Chair. As Janine has indicated, I think when we were drafting, we did look at the FIC bill, and particularly we looked at the matters regarding these warrantless searches. And we were confident that it was adequately provided for in the FSR bill. However, in light of these developments, and we haven't looked at the president's note, I do think that it would be beneficial for us to actually look at it in the context of the bill as well.
Yeah, okay, thank you. You, Administrator.
No, thank you, Chair. I think just on, I'm not ready to go into the substance of the issue, but in terms of process, certainly we don't want to waste our time by sending something even to the NCOP that we believe is unconstitutional. Now, to inform our belief that it's unconstitutional, I've checked the FICA bill. I mean, possibly I was wrong, but we followed what was said in the Constitutional Court case. Maybe the legislation deviated from it, and that I will look at the weekend. But I've looked at the provisions of the FSR bill, but without this concern of the President. I was not concerned about it. I thought we are meeting what the standards are that were set by the Constitutional Court. We have the control mechanism, although it's not a control mechanism per se, of the NCOP. Should we process this bill and should it end there, that we can advise in the NCOP. The issue of the referral in terms of 79 of the Constitution of the FICA bill will then hopefully have matured. We don't know. Because we are in a certain time of our cycle, I mean, we're not going to work on it during December and January. But it will really be informed of how Parliament answers the note of the President. The President's note on its own is maybe a red flag, but it's not a finding per se. So, Chair, what am I suggesting? I would suggest that, depending on the reason to get this to the NCOP, if there is an urgent reason, I think we need to make that clear for the NCOP to look at it then. But if we say we want to look at it, I mean, if there's no critical urgency, then this committee must look at it and wait for this thing to mature. So that's the two options that's there for me, Chair. Thanks.
Can I get some clarity before we decide on the process?
Spend hours discussing. Oh, God. I've got this parched throat that I must attend to. Excuse me. Yeah, it's not helping altogether. Can I just raise something? What we're discussing is not so much the content, right? Because we don't know. We will have to get legal opinions from everybody, and maybe a senior counsel for Parliament too. I will speak to the powers that be in Parliament this afternoon and tomorrow. We're really looking at what the process would be more than the legitimacy of the claim.
that what we did in the FICA bill is unconstitutional, and therefore what we have here may well be too. Now, I'll just give some clarity. Firstly, when the president's lawyers say something is unconstitutional, it's not sacrosanct. It's the view of some lawyers. You can find the National Treasury, the Parliament's lawyers, the senior counsel appointed by Parliament may disagree. They might also, I think, disagree, very probably, some of it at least, because it's there in many other bills. It's not about, and SARS does this thing. Personally, as far as the moral stroke policy issue is concerned, I don't see why you must have a warrant in every case. I just throw the thing in, because I'm not going to call this meeting, the paedophile example I use, right? I don't have a problem with this thing. So, and I have no problem watching personally. And the ANC didn't, because we agreed, and we actually had it there before we even came onto this committee. All of us knew. This was done in the previous version of the FIC, right, which the court found unconstitutional. As I know it, we did what the Constitution required, Constitutional Court decided. So, it doesn't follow that this thing is unconstitutional. If it was obviously unconstitutional, it would be irresponsible of us to say, hey, let's pass the buck. So what I'm saying is, am I right to say that a committee and Parliament as a whole can say, no thank you, President's lawyers, we don't agree. And if it can't be settled, take it to the Constitutional Court. Can we do that? Can I give you some clarity? We have the power. Has that been done before? In which bill? This mineral one.
Mineral resources.
Yeah, we said
question
no.
Of taking, we said we sent it back to the president, so we disagreed.
What has happened subsequently?
I'm not sure. I can find out if you agree.
It's in the NCOP.
Yeah.
So we can say no.
Yes.
Right. But I think we must also engage with Parliament's lawyer, president's lawyers. Is it appropriate to invite them here and say, can you tell us why you arrived at this conclusion, and do you understand what the implications would be? That it will mean reviewing all the relevant clauses. I notice if I'm seeking clarity as a chair would before we discuss it as MPs, except for the fact that the people who raised it in the first instance have a right to explain why they raised it. So as I understand it, we have done it before in Parliament. So I think we must, if you're setting the elements of the process for the other bill, already invite them. And the implications would be, am I right, that all such similar provisions will have to be reviewed, right, in every bill.
Put it this way, Chair, if we do not do that, I mean, whoever gets, whoever is subjected to that.
Yeah, so in other words, if we agree it's unconstitutional, then we have to review all the acts where such sections exist, right? Right. The second issue I want to raise is, if we say no, can the presidency then say, okay, we disagree with Parliament, disagreement with us, and we are referring it now as the presidency to the court, presuming they can take it to the Constitutional Court. Fine. Then it makes me more comfortable about, if that's what the decision is of the committee, to say no, at the end of the day, we are referring it back to you, President, with due respect, and then he can refer it, or his lawyers can refer it to the Constitutional Court, let the court decide. Okay, I understand the process. So if you so entandi.
Since the lawyers are around here, is it not possible to go to court, right, without taking the bill back to the president, where you ask for a declaratory on this
matter? Oh, yeah, that's another option. Good point, that's a good one. That means we can,
as Parliament say, instead of turning it back to the president, that's a good point, then we refer it to, good point, Sipisa. That's like a legal point, process point. Sorry, it's a good point. I thought you were discussing the content. Then we've got Tandi and then...
Chair, there's always the first time in an event that Parliament has never differed with the lawyers of the president whether a matter is unconstitutional or not. If it hasn't, it was going to be the first time now in this committee. But I want to suggest a different approach. I suggest that we sit with those legal advisors here in the meeting. We engage them. In an event that we can't find each other, then we can take the next step. So that we must try as much as we can to avoid any legal fees that will take from us or from them when we can try and discuss these matters here. And then if we can't find each other, then. Because you see, our lawyers are confident, government lawyers are confident, except that the president's lawyers are not confident. And sometimes there are certain lawyers I never trust because they lose cases in court all the time. So I want us to see eye to eye and point to the issues. We go line by line. Maybe they can be a better understanding. It will save us money. It will save us time. And if it happens sooner, the better. And then the suggestion I made yesterday that from the 12th to the 15th, we don't go home. So that we can use that time, because we don't have any other time to deal with this problem once and for all.
All right. We
because that is on the agenda, the processing of the FICA bill in view of the constitutional question, right? That's a slightly separate issue. But I see what you're saying. I wanted to make a proposal. Well, now that it's come to that, the two overlap. I was thinking, instead of having the insurance briefing next Wednesday, that we put this issue. As I said, I'm here on Friday in Cape Town, as it happens. My CC meeting's called off. But I've gathered from study group members that people are not keen. So what I'm saying is, Tandi, the idea, idea is on Wednesday next week. No, we need some time for lawyers to prepare. So next Wednesday will be our first sitting on the FIC bill, and we can decide there from or from there where we want to go. Mr. Mania.
Chair, there are obviously two issues there, the Twin Peaks bill and the FICA bill.
Yeah.
Since we're on the FICA bill, let me deal with that. I have a strong view that we should try to deal with the FICA bill and get it to the NCOP before the House rises next Wednesday. I'm not sure if that's possible, but I do think that there are compelling reasons for that, not least because of the subject matter of the bill, but also because of the looming, is it FATF, deadline murmur in February. Surely we can deal with this matter and get the bill, I'm not sure it has to go into the NCOP, we actually just need to include the NCOP in the process, but surely we can deal with this matter before the House rises on Wednesday next week. That must be the priority as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
I'm not opposed to that.
I think we are revisit it.
Yeah, okay, fine. If that's doable, Tandi is even saying let's use the first week of the constituency period. That's also fine. I mean, you know, I don't really, I won't be here because we've moved our CC to 14 to 16, but look, my view, as you know, in this committee, whether I'm here or not is irrelevant, right? You continue. So I can be here on the 12th and 13th, Tandi. 14th I'm out, 14th to 16th. But that's neither here nor there. I think what you are saying, Mr. Mania, is a possibility. I don't know. I've been thinking it's not possible, but who knows. Let me confer with everybody, and by 5 o'clock when we meet, we can take that further. Now, in respect of this, can I propose something? That we look at this clause carefully, right, and see whether we need to change anything at all. Without taking it for granted that what the lawyers of the presidency are saying are correct. And that what we do is Pinky's proposal, which is, we look at this thing, let's look at it, I mean, you know, seriously, not as a, like a nominal thing. There may be things lawyers and others will discover, so let's look at it anew now. Then what we do is, you see, I must tell you, if we hadn't had the insurance bill and if we hadn't had the tax bills coming and all that, I would probably have veered towards saying, hey, let's not vote on it. And, you know, in January we can look at it again. But I know that, you know what, all of us, not least myself, we're not going to say anything fundamentally new now. You know, I feel once you prepare for an exam, right, and you can spend 20 more hours, but you reach a threshold level where the 20 hours are not productive, but 30 minutes of productivity. My frank view is, because I've read this bill thousands of times, right? When I phoned Mr. Mania last Monday, I phoned him after I had reread the bill, and it struck me. But you know what, even if we spend another 20 hours, we're not going to get a much better bill. So I think we've reached that threshold level as a team. But at the same time, my main concern has more been about glitches in, you know, accommodating the commas and full stops. So I've spoken to Shah, and I even want to tighten that provision. We are, in any case, asking them, even if it's a Section 75 bill, we can tighten that and say, I want to suggest a change something. Despite it being a Section 75 bill, the committee urges the NCOP committee to give
very painstaking and careful attention to this bill, almost as if this bill has come from the executive. And the committee commits itself to giving considered attention to the amendments made by the NCOP committee, as is not usually the case with Section 75 bills. In particular, the committee draws attention to paragraph whatever it is, 24 above, and urges that this matter be addressed. And in the House, we say it. Tandi, you'll be the first speaker on behalf of the committee as a whole and say that it came at the last minute. We feel for all these reasons we need to move on. We are not dumping onto the NCOP. We would like to give this matter considered attention because of the implications for other bills, etc. So that will be the thrust of the report. So that, let's look at this thing. At the end of it, let's move towards saying that we applied our mind in the report. There's too much of work still to do from lawyers and others to conclude on the matter and so on. On the matter of the FICA bill and its process, we can deal with that at the end of this meeting before 1 o'clock. Right, what do people feel about what I'm saying? Yes, Mr. Mania.
Chair, I would be comfortable to proceed with that under any other circumstances than the circumstance we find ourselves in, which is a suspicion or a reasonable suspicion that Clause 137 may be unconstitutional. I think we have to confront that, and we cannot outsource our duty as a committee or a House when it comes to a constitutional matter to the NCOP. I think we have a duty to properly scrutinize 137, take an opinion. If we do believe that it is unconstitutional, let's fix the defect and send the bill to the NCOP. That's my view.
Right. Any other comments? Does anybody have a view? Well, the NC might want to have a study group meeting and come back, but as a chair, I have to say the following. One, there's no outsourcing. There's no such thing as the NCOP being an inferior house. Secondly, we are doing it, if you like, if you want to use that term, we are outsourcing the commas and full stops at the very least to the NCOP. Thirdly, I don't think that you are going to the subtext of those who might argue that we can't proceed with this bill is that the president is going to refer it back to us, because he'll say, or the presidency's lawyers would say, you know what, we did this thing in the FICA bill, we told you guys it's unconstitutional, you're doing the same thing in the new bill, we've got to take it back. But that's not going to happen. Because a president can only assent to a bill or refer it to us if it has gone through both houses. Then, fuckly, it's only outsourcing if you don't have the ultimate say on the matter. It's coming back to you. It will be here in March, by which time you would have had plenty of time as a Treasury, you as a lawyer, Advocate Jenkins, and whoever else is President's lawyers will have plenty of time to deal with the matter. I also think one should be careful about allowing the presidency to dictate to Parliament, actually. We're setting a precedent here. Some lawyers sat there in the presidency and decided this clause is unconstitutional. So we must now all shudder and tremble and give in. No, I don't think that's the right attitude. If the majority so decide, I'll give in. But I don't agree with that approach. Then let's be frank, Mr. Mania, Mr. Lees. You have problems with this thing in the first instance. Right. So it's convenient now for you. I mean, you're politicians. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You're sort of piggybacking on the president's thing. This is consistent. You do it all the time because that is your party's values and views. What's wrong with that? Right. It's about defending the privacy.
Yeah,
I'm putting something to you. It's not a sinister thing. I'm not saying any other person wouldn't do it in any other parliamentary democracy anywhere in the world. Right. I am saying that you in the first instance are unhappy with this. Now what has happened is some lawyers in the presidency have decided they don't like it and it's unconstitutional, and therefore you are now saying you have a problem. Now, I actually don't agree that we shouldn't proceed on this bill. But now I can give the ANC, which I'm a part of, to discuss it over lunchtime. I actually don't agree. The more I think about it, I just don't agree, actually. And it's setting a bad precedent, really. Okay.
Chair, I think you're misrepresenting our intention here. I mean, you will recall that we committed to the 6th in the process that we agreed to. We committed to drafting our amendments and producing those amendments before 5 o'clock on Monday. And we've delivered on all our undertakings in good faith, and we remain committed to the 6th. The reason we've raised this is because we are concerned that there may be a constitutional issue here, and for no other reason.
Advocate Jenkins?
I would like to be of assistance. I really don't want to take either side, but I went through the President's letter, and I think if we don't understand what the problem is with the FICA bill, what the President had with the FICA bill, we're not going to understand any solution to the FSR bill. Now, if we look on page 6, paragraph E, Roman number 2, sort of halfway down that Roman number 2 paragraph, from what I get from the letter, where the paragraphs, where the sentence starts, the proposed section 45B in brackets 1C, capital, does not require that the central supervisory body must specify that the inspector may only search for or require the production of information, etc., etc. So the nub of the argument from the President's lawyers or from the President is that someone can enter a private premises and do whatever they want to do. Now, they indicated as well in the sentence that follows that although the section may be read down in this way, I don't think it's, I'm not going to put my head out there at this point in time, but what we need to look at then, in other words, in the FSR bill, are we allowing a search for anything beyond the operation of the FSR bill or what will become an act? Are we allowing them to go in and say, so we thought Jenkins was doing, and I'll use myself as an example, we thought he was selling shares, but in fact he's growing marijuana. So now we're going to charge him for that. Is that going to happen in terms of the FSR bill? I don't think so. I think the 317 cross refers to section 135. So what we need to look at, if I'm correct, is section 137 giving you a carte blanche, or does it say we're only limited to the purposes of this act? So I think that's the premise we can
That's a very sensible compromise.
That's the way we go. Then what we can do is, I don't like this term outsource, but I understand it's a nice, catchy term, and I know what you mean. It'll still be outsourcing. Then what they can do is they can look at the original version that we had and the one we've now changed of this section. And then they can conclude that actually they don't buy what the President's lawyers are saying, and they can change it, and we will accept it. Or if they agree with the President's lawyers, then they will say, okay, what we have now amended. So I think you are right. I really like this compromise. I think it's a helpful one. Why don't we, instead of debating where we're going, start from where we should, which is let's go through it line by line carefully. I would like the three lawyers, and I'm saying three, madam, who sits quietly there. Once you start opening your mouth and speak of the nature and quality you do, you hoist yourself by your own petard. Mama, you should be encouraging the younger, newer people to speak, to be quite frank, eh? I mean, why has she been so quiet for so long? I discovered by accident recently she's a lawyer.
But I told her.
I told her
to
be fired, so that's why she...
No, Mama, on a serious note. You know, you mustn't be in this parliament, remember, here in this committee, we don't buy this hierarchy. You can have the hierarchy you want. In this parliament, if you are sitting here, you are paid by the fiscus. You must do your job, which is participate. You know, you're sitting here. You're not a trainee. You might have been a trainee a year ago, 2 years ago. You present things that we're impressed by. We're not patronizing you, so you must just speak. So there are three lawyers here. So you will help us. Sorry? Who is she?
She's not paid by the fiscus. She's paid by a levy.
Oh, very funny. Very funny. Don't drop that in. Can we actually now
do exactly what Jacob is saying. Anybody got a problem with that? Fine. Mr. Mania, you can't. Cool about that. Right. Then in that case, why are Kandi and Jikilevi there? I'm going to hold it. I think we all need everybody here. Everybody here. Fule Mabe is not here.
He's the whip. He's supposed to whip them.